Well, I would appreciate your prayers. Thinking about all of the kingdoms of the earth, the great Roman kingdom, the Chinese dynasties, Genghis Khan, the Ottoman Empire, all of those kingdoms were conquest of military actions.
Right.
Their kingdoms was set up with a club,
yes,
with a coercion. They were made to do it. The kingdom of God didn't come that way. It isn't a conquest of land. It wasn't a conquest of people. It didn't come with a twisting of the arm or a brutality.
Right.
It came with passion. The kingdom of God was born with passion.
Yes.
Jesus came with a mission. His mission was to seek and save those that were lost. You ever hear of the passion of Christ? It's a common term, and it's very well said, because Jesus had a mission and he would not divert from it. Though the devil and his enemies of the earth, they tried to divert him from the mission at hand. But he went on because he had a singular passion to fulfill the mission that the Father had given him. His passion for us was so strong that he looked through the human suffering, the human humiliation. He looked through all of those things because he had a very strong passion for what he was doing. So the whole kingdom of God came to us through passion. And there is no forced labor in the kingdom of God. There's no draft. There's no twisting of the arm. Religious people try that. Don't get me wrong. Religious people try to do that with other people. But the kingdom of God does not do that in the hearts and lives of people. It does not twist your arm. It simply makes a proposition.
Yes.
God comes with His Spirit and woos. He draws. He does that. But it's up to us. We're volunteers here today.
Amen.
You have to be a volunteer today. And the success that we have, is directly in relationship with the passion that we have to it. It was born in passion. It was achieved by passion. It was brought through the generations to us through passion. It was passionate people that got a hold of this and so loved it and so embraced it that they brought it through all kind of tribulations and problems and persecutions, and they brought this because they had a passion, and a person without passion would wither. They would give up in the pursuit of it if they didn't have passion to bring them on through it. Jesus had passion enough for a crown of thorns to be put on his head. He had passion enough to love the people that called him Beelzebub. He had passion enough for what he was doing to lay down his life, spread out his... I don't believe that the army, their soldiers, was strong enough to hold Jesus' arms down. I don't think they could have gathered enough around him to do it. He didn't do it. He didn't do it because they had a hold of his arms. He said he could have called 12 legions of angels. You can do nothing to me, he said, if my Father didn't let you do this. This isn't being done because you think you can do it. You can't do anything. I'm laying this down. And it was passion. The word passion means powerful or compelling emotion or feeling. That is love or hate. It's the strong emotion. Strong, I like this definition, strong and barely controllable emotions. A desire, a passion. Something that I really want. I believe that the world is sapping true Christian passion. And this is not a criticism. I really want it to be a challenge to everyone here, because we can habitually do things. I mean, we can go to service, and the whole time we're there, we can be fishing in our brain. I mean, you can go to service, and all the time you're there, you can be thinking about the things that you want to be done. You can think about remodeling your living room. You can think about, I want to ask you today is about the challenge about the passion. How much passion do we really have? Because it's really relative to all of our Christian life. My grandmother used to say, my grandmother had passion for the Lord. I'll tell you that. Yeah. You couldn't go to her house without her telling you about Jesus in some way or another. Because she had a passion. I mean, some people thought maybe grandmother was a little obnoxious, or they wish she hadn't done it. I mean, some things. I ain't even speaking to the wisdom today. I'm talking about passion. My grandmother was passionate about the Lord. She would say, I'm saved. I am saved and sanctified and satisfied. She was satisfied with what she was doing. She had a passion for it. She wanted to tell people about the Jesus that saved her. She wanted to tell the Lord about the church of God. She had a passion inside her, and she wouldn't miss any opportunity to be able to do it. My grandmother would have nobody but her. I mean, nobody in a crowd. Nobody but her could offer a prayer of thanksgiving. My grandmother wouldn't shrink back about it. I remember one time she even said something to everybody. Is there anybody that wants to offer thanks? Nobody was offering thanks. So my grandmother did it, and she did it passionately. She wanted everybody to know this is important. This is important. Do you know one of the most important things for us in the raising of our children is to show them what, I know you can say it, I want to be more than what you say it, to show them what's really important. Right. I remember times my children would say, oh, Dad, do we have to go to church? No, we get to. This is a privilege. They got to know that this is important, because they can go all their life through it and get up to it, and they'll say, I know they didn't mean it. They never put nothing. They never really. It was a functionality to them. It was a habit. They didn't really put anything into it. You know, if you really love something, you'll want to do it. You'll want to do it. It's not hard to do it. It's not a club. I'm not swinging a club at you today. I want you to measure. Lord, help us measure. How much do I really put into this? How important is it to me? Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody here, but I'm going to risk it anyway. Sister Clay loves, I mean, everybody in here knows she enjoys salvation. Yes. Sister Clay's enjoy. I can tell that she's passionate. Yes. She's passionate. She goes where she can. She does what she can. She's passionate about the Lord. That's inspiring to me. Yes. She really believes it. Yes. It's passionate. Yes. We have passionate. Back in my younger days, I was a surveyor. An underground surveyor. I run transit underground. And I'd go to the mines, But at the same time, I was saved, and so I went to church services and all. But so I had this comparison that I used to think of quite a bit. When I would go to these mines, these coal mines, these coal miners were just old, rough guys. I mean, they're tough old guys, these coal miners, if you could get the picture. These guys, and they would go in. We usually went in the midnight hours, but it would happen all shifts. There was three shifts. And we would get there, and the normal routine of going to the coal mines, you went and everybody wore coveralls underground, and you had a big belt with a light pack, battery pack on it, and you had a cap, light, and you got your equipment on. You had to wear metatarsal boots and everything. So everybody had equipment they had to get in. I'd go to these mines, and these coal miners would show up to work a full half hour. I ain't saying just one time. Every time we went to the mines, the coal miners that was going to go underground would go there a full half hour before work. And they'd all go in and they'd get their equipment on, and then they'd get their thermos bottles of coffee and they'd get out of sandwich. I seen them do it over and over. Those men loved doing that. I know they loved it because of the way they did it. They showed up. It wasn't the work they loved. They loved the camaraderie with the people that was like them, that they talked deer hunting and coon hunting, and they talked the things of life, and they done that. And that moment, that half hour before work, was something that I could tell that those men enjoyed so much. Well, maybe their wife nagged at them too. I mean, I don't know the whole story, but I know they wanted to go there. They wanted out of a bad situation. But that was something that was important, and the reason I know is because they always did it.
Right.
A half hour before work. And at the same time, I was going to church services.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody show up no half hour early. Habitually, the same people would get there just at this time, and at this time, maybe one would be before service or two would be before service started. Then somebody comes right as service starts and down. You ain't lost for that, folks. It ain't me picking. I'm talking about it can tell a little bit about how important it is. It really says just the level of passion that we have for things. How much passion? When I was growing up, my daddy was a deer hunter. And I mean, dad was a deer hunter, and there was nobody around would have questioned my dad's passion. Part of the definition is a strong and barely controllable emotion. It's what he taught. It's what we talked about all the year round until deer season happened. And then you talked about what happened. You hunted, and then you talked about what happened that year or the next year. Deer hunting was so important. It was so passionate to us growing up that almost nothing else could compel us. And I'm not the only one. I mean, there's many people like this. That it compels them to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get ready. Got to get up, got to get ready, got to get in the stand, got to have your equipment all laid out. You got to get in that stand at a certain time, and nothing else on life could compel them to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It speaks of do you question somebody's passion that will get up at 3 o'clock in the morning? To be able, no, I don't question it at all. I say right off, that man is a passionate man about what he's doing. Right. He wants to really do that. That is important. It speaks of importance.
Yeah.
The whole kingdom of God came to us with a passion.
Yeah.
A passion for God. A passion for the kingdom of God. A passion for souls. This is what comes out of my life. Is that I desire this. I want to go to the meetings. I want to express Christ. I want people to see holiness. I want the world to experience this. I'm passionate about this cause. There was a time where David, as a ruddy boy, he goes up and he sees a battle and everybody else was there. And I want to tell you something. There wasn't a lot of passion there. There wasn't a lot of passion. There was all that what was going on. And here comes David and he sees it, a man of passion. He had deep passion, almost uncontrollable passion for the Lord. Look at his Psalms. Look at the Psalms that he wrote and the things that he did. And he played music and his heart and his mind was for God, so much so that God said, he's a man after my own heart. He was seeking God's heart. He wanted to know about the Lord. He had a real passion for it. And so when he sees this giant come out there, he saw the giant, he saw that, but his passion for Israel, his passion for God, his passion for the truth, it superseded all of that. You're saying, I got passion for this. I don't want to see the name of God run down. I don't want to see the armies of God fail. This is passionate to me. You think football teams would win if they didn't have any passion? I mean, I'm talking flatline the passion. Oh, let's go. Yeah, I'll play this position today. You play there. Well, do you think they'd be any good without passion, without some desire to do it? No. What drives them, this is the passion. I'll go the extra mile. There is people, I mean, I've seen it. There is people that will put their bodies on the line. I've seen some of them trying to do a flip into the end zone. They're so fast. I'm going to get over that. They put their bodies in danger to try to score a touchdown. I mean, if you score the touchdown, nobody will remember it after a while. No, they got a passion. David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause that's bigger and supersedes us, that goes on? There's a cause, something that's bigger than we are, that the Lord wants us to have. And Lord, help us to have passion about the things that we're doing. It's not winning. You won't win anybody without passion. Unless we really mean what we're doing, unless what we really show out to the world that this is something that is very important. I think about the time where the Apostle Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. Passionate man about God. He was determined, I'm going to Jerusalem. As a side, Paul was not called to the children of Israel. He was called to the Gentiles. He was an apostle of the Gentiles, called to the Gentiles. He had a lot of authority under his calling, but he wasn't called to the Jews. But he said of his people, I love my people. I'm willing to be a curse for them. The passion of Paul to his people was so strong that he said, I'm determined to go to Jerusalem. So there was a prophet come and prophesied. Remember, they girded with his garment and said, the man that earns this, if he goes, going to be girded just like this. He's going to be in bondage to that. And Paul said, I am not only willing to be bound, I'm willing to die for the people. I'm willing to give everything that I got for them. That's what he's, and that was, see the passion. Yeah. The passion in that. How can you doubt such a thing? Amen. I say passion is a flare of life. Things without passion are lacking. Yes. A marriage without passion is lacking. A people without passion is lacking. And surely the kingdom of God is lacking without passion. Amen. God wants us to have passion. I want to look at with a scripture related to this. It's in Ezekiel 47, chapter 1st verse says, afterward he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the side south of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without to the other of the gate by the way that looked eastward. And behold, there run out waters on the right side. And when the man had the line, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through waters. The waters were to the ankle. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. So here is a little illustration. Water would be a blessing in any sense, I would think. I mean, when the water's ankle deep, there's still water to drink. I mean, you can wash your face in it. I mean, you could get a washcloth and wash your face in it. You could use it for various things, but there is a limit to it. It's like a Christian life. Levels that we're going to. God taking us to levels and places. It's a blessing, but is that all there is? I mean, is this really what we want to represent to the world? I mean, is that all my life will ever be is ankle-deep water? I mean, I can survive with water like that. I can do a lot with it. But I really have a lot of limitations. I've baptized a number of baptisms. It'd be hard to baptize somebody in ankle-deep water. I mean, we always look for a little bit. I don't even like it knee-deep, to be honest with you. I mean, when I'm baptized, I want some water to put them down in. You know, I like it to be up to you can get down too low there, but I mean, there's limitations to this. But this is a beginning. This is where we start. But the Lord don't want just that. There's more to the experience than waiting around. And I've enjoyed waiting around in the water sometimes in the summer, go stick my feet in cold water, those kind of things. But it's so limited. There's not a lot to that. There's not a lot you do. But if you go down, you can't dip a 5-gallon bucket in it. I mean, you got to dip it up a little bit at a time. But you know, you go down a little bit farther and you can get a bucket full of water now. I mean, if you had a chore to do, you could do it and use it. And now there's a lot more you can do with it now. Yeah. I mean, you can take a bath in it now. So much more you can do, and experience is waiting there. Here's experience. Well, not to be satisfied with waiting around in the ankle deep water. I have some passion for this and ask the Lord, what can I do for you? How much farther can I go? I want to see the kingdom of God grow. I want to see the congregation. I want to see the Dallas congregation. I want to see more people in the pews. I want to reach out, touch more people, have more passion. You know what? There's a draw to that. There's a draw to the people that need it. Sing like we mean it. Talk like we mean it. Go there, let me and have something. So I went a little bit further. Now it's up deeper. There's a lot I can do, but I still ain't going to dive off the cliffs on it. There's still some limitations to it. This is an experience. He's talking about what God wants to do with us. He wants to give us something more than that, something we can have some passion about, something that we can speak about. Now I'm going to get down there. I'm going to get down there that it's deep enough that now I can't swim that far. I mean, this is a river. This is a river. It's too deep to touch the bottom. You can dive off if you want, but you can't swim far enough to get the bottom now of it. It's endless. It's deep. There's so much there. It speaks of the passion, what the Lord wants to do for us. I can't swim over it. I mean, it's too big to cross. I can swim. But boy, there's all the water. I can water my garden. I can dive in. I can explore it. I can do whatever because it's boundless. It's so much there, so much of the Lord we don't tap into. And the reason we don't is a lack of passion. A lack of passion. In this world, people get passions. And you can see it. I know people that are passionate about golf. And do you know what everything they do is golf? Now, if I go hit a golf ball, I'm going to do it in the tennis shoes that I have. They even people claiming that the shoes make a difference on how you can hit the ball. Now, I don't know about that. But passionate people are what they're going to have golf shoes.
Yes. Yes.
Golf clubs. And you say, well, one club just like another. Oh, no, they ain't either. I mean, I got to have golf clothes. Golf. Golf clothes, golf shoes, golf videos, golf everything, because golf's it. That's it. That's what I do. That's what I love. That's what I'm going to do. And when it's the first day that the club opens, that I get courses open, I'm going to be playing golf. I want to show golf. I want to speak golf. I want to tell you about golf. I'll tell you what my game is. I'll tell you everything about it. My swing, my back swing, my step forward, everything. It's called passion.
Yeah.
I got a passion for something. Apostle Paul talks about passion in a way in the 1 Corinthians 9 chapter when he said, they that run a race, run all. What's running all? They do everything for the mastery. They'll change their diet. They'll do everything to be able to have an advantage, to be able to win that, run that race and win it. They will do whatever they have to do because they've got a really, really strong passion in their heart for running. And they're going to do everything they can do to get that. Now, I'm a passionate person. My own definition of myself is that I'm a passionate person. I'm not somebody, if I play basketball or something like that, I'm not somebody that's not going to get in there. Well, I'm getting old, so. But my nature has always been that I'll wrestle you for the ball. I mean, I never played any game growing up that I wasn't red in the face, that I wasn't sweating profusely. I was passionate about being able to do it. Brother Keith Fuller said one time, he said, I can tell you what a person's like by watching them play one basketball game. And I thought about that for a long time, and I said, you know what? I think a personality does come out pretty strong in a basketball game. It really shows the nature of that. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, Lord helps me. I'm a good sport about things. I mean, I'm not but I'll beat you if I can. I mean, I have passion enough about it that if I can beat you, I'll shake your hand if you beat me. But I'll beat you if I can. And I'll passionately play to win.
Yes.
I want to play to win. And I want to play life to win.
Yes.
And when I put myself into the arena, into the kingdom,
yes,
I've got a passion about it.
Yes.
And I don't like it to be talked bad about. David did not like that giant talking bad about the things of God. I don't like it. I want to defend it. I know I can't eat much of it, and God don't need it defended, but I want to defend it. I want to say when it said something wrong about it, no, that's not right. I want the people to know what true Christianity is. I don't like false things. I don't like religion at all. I like salvation. I want God's kingdom to shine in this world. I want people to see what it really, really is. I think if true Christianity would have been the most prominent part of Christianity that was showed, there'd be a lot more people. But it's not. There's a falseness that's told. I hate it. Because I got a passion. I got some strong, really, really strong desires for the things of God. We need to have passion. The world puts us to shame, folks. There is people that are so passionate about the stock market. Passion. Get up in the morning, can't wait for sitting there waiting for the market to open. I mean, they're all day with it, fooling with it all day. Passion, got such passion, they make it work for them. And they have passion for it. Sports teams, you can see it everywhere. They have passion. And it's not always good. What's going on in the Middle East is driven by passion. Right now, there is such immense passion on all sides. Very, very strong driving passions. It doesn't mean that that's right. I'm just saying the necessity for passion. We need to have passion for the Lord. Not for carnal things or the things of this world, but a real passion for the salvation of souls. This is what God came to do, and when you're indifferent about it and don't really care about it, it's not going to impress your family. I'm going to tell you right now, it is not impressive to anybody without passion. Unless you really show that you care and it's something important. Over in Deuteronomy, fourth chapter, I believe, Deuteronomy. Oh, is that what I want? Yeah, that's what I want. I'll pick up a little thought in the back. 27, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. The Lord put it on. Here's what it is. This can be turned. This can be changed. And he didn't just say, yeah, when you say I have a half-hearted prayer before you go to bed at night, I'll pay attention. No, the effectual fervent. You know what effectual fervent is? It's passion. The effectual fervent. It means, Lord, I'm here to hang on. I'm here driving in this thing. The woman, the widow woman that came to the unjust judge, she refused passionately. I'm here. You're going to have to deal with me. Not going anywhere. I'm here and I need revenge and I'm not going anywhere. And he wearied her. Oh, lest you weary me, I'll grant a petition. The Lord said, here, if you seek me, not just one day, not just a little bit of thought. Well, I got a couple of minutes. Passionately. Fervently. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I would have to assume from that a indifferent, half-hearted, lethargic prayer ain't going to get much. Of course not. Lord, my experience of serving the Lord has been when I get to the place that I can empty. When I get to the place that I am, Lord, I've got to have something. I've never been disappointed of the Lord. When I get down to that kind of a place and I have that kind of passion and earnestness about it, God's going to meet it. Lord, help us. When you seek me with all your heart. They asked the Lord, man, Pharisee, I believe it was, asked Jesus one time, what was the great commandment? What say you? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't think it's wrong to have other legitimate likes in this world. God made a lot of good things, a lot of things to like. It wasn't that there's not other things to put our attention to. It's what we put our attention to first and most. In the scriptural language, I'll challenge this. I don't have it. So I'm not going to look at it. But the one thing that God required of his people always was first. Now, that's solid. That's solid in the scriptures. Right from the beginning, when they started first making sacrifices, God did not accept the lesser sacrifices. It was no sacrifice at all to God. He didn't accept it. It had to be the first and the best. There is a reason why the early church was established to have service on the first day of the week. Because it makes a statement of the intention of the people. How am I going to start my week? With the most important thing of the week. This is my passion. I can do something else later, but I'm going to give God His dues first. I'm going to give Him the best and the first. That isn't by chance that that happened. There's a reason for that, and it goes out through our life, what we give God. It's okay to hunt and fish. It's okay to do work that you're supposed to do. It's all right to enjoy a game of chess or a game with your children. It's not okay to not put God first, ever. God is first in all that we do because He's worthy to be first. And the fact that He is the glue of our life. He's the purpose of our life. He's what makes our life worth something. He's what holds our life together. Anything that you have good in your life, God gave it to you. God's one that's going to keep it good and have it good. And you can't do it yourself. This is why it's important. I didn't say, well, I'll spend time with my family. I won't be worth staying with my family if the Lord don't help me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's the glue.
Yeah.
We've got to have God first in our lives. He's got to be first. These other things is okay. We're in a technological world. But I want to tell you, it's been mentioned in this meeting. I want to tell you, this can go first.
Right.
I'm telling you, this can go first. This can get ahead of God.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
But if we got passion, it's going to be a deterrent for those things.
Yeah.
Lord, help us to have passion.
Yeah.
This can actually be used for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me yesterday, from Pakistan, asked me yesterday, Brother, what do you think about the war that's going on? What an opportunity. So I can express to you, I got a passion about these things. So this is what I express to them. I'm glad that we serve a mighty God. That's what I think about the war over there. I'm glad that we serve a mighty God. And I told my wife the first day that happened, I said, boy, is the end time prophecies going to come out of the woodwork now. They're going to be everywhere. And they're everywhere now. I mean, you got them coming. But can I tell you something? Sin has been the problem.
Right.
It was from the beginning.
Right.
And when this is all wrapped up, it's going to be the problem.
Yeah, right.
Don't get diverted off on the carnal things, folks.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, a lot of people that are spewing those kind of things don't mind to lie, they don't mind to cheat, and they don't mind to have five wives or be in all kind of adultery, and they're still spewing stuff about the end time prophecy when that's exactly what the devil wants. Jesus, the promise of God, I told him, the promise of God are not challenged one bit by what's going on. He said He'd be with us to the end, even to the end of the world. He said that He would be a God, leading guide us into all truth, and that we can be saved. And that ain't changed a bit no matter what they do out there. The devil just wants to divert our minds off on things. I don't know if there's some prophecy in it or not, but this is what I know. I can be saved in it all. I know that if I stay faithful to the Lord, He's going to be faithful to me. That's what I know. And the other things, I'm not very smart. So I don't have, I mean, thank God, I don't have to fool with the law of that because I ain't smart enough to figure it out anyway. But what I know is that God is able to take care of us in life. And what God wants of His people is for us to mean it. It's necessary for our own, you know, I don't want to put it all down. I don't believe that a Christian life is going around all the time on cloud nine. It hasn't been my experience. And it wasn't Jesus' experience. Jesus showed us the gambit of life. He showed us the walking of life. He showed us what it was like to fast. He showed us what the situation. And He also showed us the terror of the garden. He showed us the labor of the garden. So I don't think Jesus was in a joyful situation there in the garden. He was heavy with the burden that He was at. And we'll have those times too. But folks, I really believe there's joy in salvation. And there ought to be something in our lives that will show the people in the middle of times like is happening now and the uncertainty of the world that the Christian ought to be able with a passionate statement to be able to say, my trust isn't in the natural things of this earth anyway. And not only that, I've already accepted the fact that my long life is not going to be on this planet. I've already accepted the fact that I'm going to have to go to eternity. And that's what I told those folks in Pakistan. I told them, I said, if this hadn't have happened, all of us are still a vapor. All of us has got to deal with death. So surely the prophecies ain't just dealing with the death of this body. Don't get hung up on it, because we're going to get out of here anyway. What it's talking about is the dangers to our souls. It's the dangers to our spiritual life. Don't get sidetracked here with this. There is prophecies, and it's talking in the spiritual sense about what the devil's going to try to do to us. Don't get sidetracked about it. Don't let sin overtake your life. Don't let the world overtake your life. Don't get lethargic in your life. Keep your passion up for the Lord. We ought to be able, as Christians, to be able to say, in this unsure world, we serve Christ. My King is still on His throne. The one that provided my life for me is still there. The one that's going to continue to bless and keep my life is there. And I recommend to you today, if you don't have Him in this uncertain world, get Him as King of your life, and have a certain, you have a certain expectation then that He's going to meet. I can live for the Lord. I can be secure in my life. And secure to me isn't that this body might suffer something. That isn't the security. No. The security to me is that I, by the grace of God, can go through any situation with victory in my soul. I don't have to hate you when you hate me.
Right.
I don't have to. Now, I say in my own flesh I would.
Right.
I'd come up against you. But I'm saying by the power of God, I don't have to hate you when you hate me. I love you anyway. And I can say to the Lord, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I can say, don't lay this to their charge because of the Lord and what the Lord done. You probably heard me tell this, but I want to tell it again to the glory of God. Back when I was saved for a few years, and I had an old Oldsmobile, and it ended up, it had some problems, and I worked on it some, and finally it got to the point I wanted to get rid of it, and so I put what I thought was a very low cost on it. I put a sign on it for $400 or something. It was, and this guy in the community, I knew him, but not real well. He comes up and he said he'd like to buy the car. And I said, well, $400. And he said, yeah, I'll take it and all this. And he says, I've only got $225 on me. And would you take $225 for the car? And I said, I don't know. I said, well, I'll be paid Friday, and I'll pay you on payday. Okay, give me $225. And so we made the transaction, and Friday came, and Friday went. I never saw him no more. I needed that in my own mind. I needed that $175. I not only needed it, I wanted it. And that wasn't good. And so it was a few weeks, and I went to work one early morning at a quick stop, and I walk in, and right ahead of me, there he is, right there. There's no avoiding it. I mean, he paid his deal, and he turned around, and he was right here. And it was like he dropped his head and looked at the floor, and he said, now, I'm going to pay you on payday. Well, I was like, all right. I mean, I'll be looking for the pay on payday. He didn't come around. You know what? I got in a bad way in my soul over that. It bothered me. I thought about it a lot. What to do? All those things. And I went and asked the Lord about that. Well, the answer is supposed to be, I'll get on him. I'll take care of him. I got it. No. I don't know. I assume the Lord dealt with him. I don't know. God's good, but he didn't deal with him. He dealt with me. I said, Lord, I want the victory over this. I tell you how to get the victory. Forgive him.
But I don't get $175 for giving in. Forgive him. You want victory? Forgive him. I have cattle on 1,000 hills. I make you promises, I'll take care of you. Forgive him for your soul's sake, and you'll have victory. After this going on, and Lord gave me a perfect opportunity right ahead of in the same place, in the same line, a couple weeks later, there he is right ahead of me. And he turns around and says, I'm going. I said, put my hand on his shoulder and said, brother, you are forgiven. Don't worry about it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, I could have floated out of that store. Something happened. Something happened that was different. I didn't need it anymore. I didn't want it anymore. I thought of the Lord looking at me and saying, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. I'm not going to lay this to your charge. I prayed to the Lord after that. If this is all keeps him out of the heaven, Lord, don't charge it to him. Forgive him for it.
Yes.
Well, I know it don't work that way, but it was my heart. I never lost any more sleep about it. I didn't care about that $175 anymore. It was a victory. God made a promise to us in this world. I want to recommend to you today, God is able to take care of us in this world. I know it's fearful and the things going on in our world and it's so changing. We can even say sometimes, how can you expect the Lord to bless this country with all that it's doing and the evil that it's portraying and doing away from God? Did God promise that exactly? God promised to keep us. God promised to be true to his people. How many people was really doing it right when he blessed Daniel? It didn't say very many. I mean, maybe the Hebrew children. Wasn't a lot of them. But Daniel? Daniel stood there by himself, and God blessed him right there in that old heathen kingdom. Right there. Took care of him. Folks, we need to have a passion towards the Lord and what he's doing to be able to express our testimony of what the Lord's doing. Lord done a lot for us. We need to be able to passionately tell that to one another. You know, sometimes the congregation's down, you're busy with the cares of life and something like that. Do you know how much a passionate person can fire up a congregation? I've seen it happen over and over again. Somebody with passion was in service one time, and the preacher got up and preached. And it was the driest message I think I ever heard. I'd made the comment, you'd have to add water to it to make it as dry as dust. It was dry. I got nothing out of that. That wasn't nothing. That was no good. And when I was thinking all those things, and after that, Brother Jim White got up and said, I thank God for that good message. He said, and he started telling some things that the preacher had said, and I sat right there and said, he didn't say that, Brother Jim. I was sitting there listening, and the things that you're saying that he said, he didn't say. See, the Holy Ghost was talking with Brother Jim.
Right.
And he might have been talking with me, but I didn't hear it because I wasn't into it. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't into it. Being passionate has so many benefits, folks, to our serving the Lord. You see things different. You look at it. You hear things different. It's just different all the way around. If you're wanting to get out of here and go and do something and you're agitated, you're not going to hear it. It's not, there's something here to having passion for the Lord. David said in the 51st Psalm, and this come on the heels of his great failure. 51 Psalm is David's repentance. Okay? And he said in one place in the 51st Psalm, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. What had happened to him had sapped his joy. And no longer could he have the joy. Every time that he would think of this thing would come up before him, and he did not have the joy anymore to write the songs of joy, to do the things of the Lord. He didn't have it anymore in his life. What he had got into had sapped him. out, and he didn't have it anymore. And his prayer was is that I could get back to that man that had passion that took on the giant, that had the passion to be able to stand up for the Lord. Lord, restore to me. Give me back the joy that I used to feel in my salvation. Help me to have the same passion. You know what I mean? I remember when I was first saved, I want to tell everybody. I remember reading, after I got saved, I read Revelations Explained. I can't say I understood all of it, but I understood a lot of it. Man, I thought, this is so rich, everybody's going to want to hear this. And everybody's going to understand this because it makes sense. And boy, I started telling it. And ain't nobody. I never convinced nobody of it. But I had passion to tell it. I got it, and I want to tell this. I got saved, and I want other people to be saved too. Got some passion in there. Lord, help us today to check that gauge of our passion. How much do we, honestly, are we just going through the formal ideas of religion? I mean, are we really giving ourselves over to the Lord? The kingdom of God was born with passion. The apostles gave their lives. One of the great witnesses of the Christian church and the argument of the apologists that argued Christianity, one of the great arguments is that they was men. That they know, set up, they were the building blocks of the original church. I mean, they was on the apostles. And when it said to them that these were frauds, they were fakes, the question always arises, if they didn't believe it themselves, there as being a first-hand witness, why would they die for it? Nobody would die for the lie. If they were just doing it for a scam, they wouldn't die for it. The apostles believed the witness that they gave. Because they laid their life, they passionately gave their life for it. And when we make a witness of something that we say we have, we ought to have a definite testimony with our life that this is the most important thing in my life. I had a great passion for deer hunting just like I was raised. But there's something that superseded that passion. I still do it, by the way. Almost with no passion. But I still do it sometimes. But I'm going to tell you something overtook that passion. It was the desire to please the Lord. There was something that was more important now. Had a stronger passion in my life than that. I love deer hunting so much that I used to say if I ever met a woman that I loved more than deer hunting, I'd marry her. That's what I used to say. Because at that time, a girlfriend, I mean, she was gone if she interfered with deer hunting. I said, if I ever get a job worth keeping at deer season, it'd be a good job. Because if deer hunting, if a job's going to interfere with that, that's passionate, folks. That's passionate. You know, when I got saved, I started putting things in priorities. Now, deer hunting deer is fun, and God never took it from me. But it's way down there. God calls me to a meeting, I go to a meeting. My family's more important than deer hunting. Taking care of the responsibilities of life are a lot more than that. And it put me in an order. Lord, help us to have a passion and a desire for the Lord that will, and I'm not assuming that necessarily that it's coming to service on time. But I will say this, it will have an effect in going to service. It will. It'll have an effect on what I do in my service. The scriptures, I believe, teaches that God has something for every one of us. I think everyone in here has a place in the kingdom of God. I believe there is a calling for everyone. I think there is gifting for everyone. And it will be in passion that they're developed. It'll be in passion that they come out. You may be a help. You may be an encouragement. Another may be a minister, a Sunday school teacher, a singer. All of those things need to be done in passion. With a real desire for it to be done.
passionately looking for the right place. It will also put temperance on it. I don't want to step in God's way, so I'm very careful. Let me just tell you what passion will do. Usually when I'm in a meeting, it's rare that it's not, that I wouldn't have a lot to say at the end of a message. But just because I think something doesn't mean God wants me to do it.
Right.
I have to have the Lord to prompt me with inspiration. Because I don't want to hinder what God's doing.
Right.
Because my passion is for God's work to be accomplished.
Yes.
I want that to be done. So if I'm going to, no matter what you do in your experience, it comes with the idea, I want this to be a glory in God's hands. I want Him to be able to use this to what He made for it to be. And then it's not about me. It's never about us, folks.
Right.
This thing ain't about us. This is about the Lord and what the Lord doing. And it's not about me and my personality and what people like me, don't like me, all these things. It's not about me. I don't want to make it about me. If somebody else preaches a message, amen. If the Lord calls somebody else to do it, good. I'm for you, brother. I'm behind you 100% because it ain't about me. And I'll tell you something else. It ain't about you either because I ain't making it about you. I'm making it about the Lord and what the Lord does. We don't have a right to have envy and jealousy and stuff in the kingdom of God because it's all to the same point. God bless them good. Where I have to step back, have the attitude that John the Baptist had. Let me get out of the way. Now Jesus is coming and He's going to, and I'm going to have to go down. I have to get out of the way. I'm not even worthy to unloose His shoes. Let me get out of the way. You know, that's what we ought to have that. Having passion will do it. Having passion for the cause of God will allow us to humble if we have to. We think of passion as being red in the face all the time. No, it's not. It's to have a desire towards something, accomplishment. Yeah. And it being accomplished means I need to get out of the way. Maybe I'm the one today that just needs to pray about it. Maybe I'm the one that's unseen today.
Yes.
Maybe I'm the one that wants to be seen and have to be unseen. Or maybe you're the one that wants to be unseen and you got to be seen. It's time. I mean, it ain't about me anymore. My passion is that God's will be done. That's the passion. Sometimes we've had this mind that it isn't really a success if somehow people don't join into our... It ain't about us. And I'm perfectly willing to put somebody in the hands of God.
Yes.
And I can't save them anyway.
Right.
I ain't got no blessing waiting on them. I want to put them in the hands of God and let God lead them to where they'll go. Because God can lead them to where they want to go.
Yes.
Lord, help us. When you have a passion in the Lord, these things will come into focus. Let's say something else. I've noticed over the years, Church of God groups have a tendency... I'm not saying we do. I'm just saying there's a tendency in all Church of God groups. You know, we believe rightfully that there's only one church. I can prove it. There is only one. But people get that kind of out of whack and they think they're one. That they're the one. I know a lot of people and a lot of groups to get the idea that somebody else can't be saved. That ain't my passion. My passion is, for one thing, it's not my judgment. And for the other thing is I pray to God they are saved.
That's right.
Oh, I give them a title. I don't care what title you put on them. I pray, God, that they're saved. When they testify to being saved, I'll take it that way. Why shouldn't I take it that way? I want them to be saved. That's my passion. I don't want them to be caught up in false religion. For sure. Lord, lead them out of that. Do it out of that. But folks, we're not the one. God has one. Let me be part of it. But so is every blood-washed one. Everybody that has truly given himself to the Lord is saved. Thank God. I'm glad He's got a system that don't need me. Because if it needed me, it wouldn't be worth nothing. Thank God. Passion will do that. I see people. I love them. I meet them. I love them. And they're claiming to be saved. But I have all these beliefs. God bless them. God bless them. Bring a greater truth to them. And you know what? For a lot of times, the Lord will open up and I'll be the one that's been able to give them my passion and be able to say, consider this, brother. Consider this place.
Yes.
I want them to be saved.
I want them to be saved. Yes. One brother, Brother Clifford Wilson, said one time, and it stuck with me, if you can get to heaven cheaper than I can, I hope you do.
Right.
I'm not thinking this thing off of, what, you can't go if you do that. I would be so upset if you got to go like that. God help us. That's not my passion. The passion is, Lord, save all that you can. Have mercy on all that you can. Deal with everyone that you can. Give us the passion that's not ankle, just ankle deep. Ankle deep thinks that way. But you'll get in it all and you won't think that way. Lord, help us to have a passion. Everything that's been successful that I can think of was passionate. It was passionate. Conquerors conquer with passionate. Racers win because they're passionate. Sports team achieve victories because they're passionate. People in business make good businesses and make a lot of money because they're passionate about what they're doing. And it teaches us we're going to be successful in the kingdom of God. It's going to be through passion. You pray for me.